Welcome, Monsignor.
Thank you, Teresa.
We're in show number 20 of volume 3. I can't believe that. The number just is, seems like we just got started and those numbers are piling up already.
It is, yeah. And yet we haven't gone far by way of years. We're still in the first decade of the 20th century.
There's a lot happening time period.
That's right.
There was so much change and growth.
Yeah, there really was.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at today?
Well, today we're going to start looking at more parishes. Last time around, we spent an entire half an hour just talking about four parishes,
right?
Two of which are now closed. Now we're going to take a look at a whole bevy of other parishes that are founded between 1904 and 1910. That's only 6 years.
Okay.
There are 12 parishes that are founded.
Wow, that was an active time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is telling us that there's a lot of movement. This is all. These are all county parishes now. So there's a lot of movement taking place, even at the early part of the 20th century. So the first one we'll talk about is the Church of the Immaculate Conception in Maplewood, founded in 1904. There are about 75 families. These are, again, second-generation Irish and German families. You're going to find more and more combination now of German and Irish families living together in the same neighborhoods.
As people begin to assimilate. English becomes much more common.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so that's going to have that. There are going to be about 150 kids in the school.
Wow.
And the thing that impresses me is that this school is conducted by three Loretto nuns, three, with 150 kids. It reminded me of my grade school experience at St. Patrick's in University City. First grade was 54.
Wow.
We had 54 kids in that grade.
Yeah, that's not like my experience in Arkansas. We had about 10 in a combined first and second grade.
That's right, try to find 50 Catholic kids in Arkansas. Yeah. Well, the same year, the Nativity of Our Lord was founded. Now, this was in the northwest part of the city itself. It's founded by Father John C. Granville. Both of them went ahead and combined together a church and a school at the beginning, the first parishes. Nativity of Our Lord closed in 1982.
Okay.
Another parish to be founded at this time, way further north, is Sacred Heart. Another Sacred Heart. And this is in Ellsbury.
I've been there.
Yeah.
To their parish picnic.
Oh, there you go. Good. Yeah, it's a neat little parish.
Yes,
wonderful
it is.
People. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was founded in 1905, and before that was St. Andrew's in the Lime area, and that was founded on December 24th of 1904, but it didn't start functioning as a parish until February of 1905.
Now, is that the one that's still there?
That's right.
It's right off, like, Hoffmeister?
Yeah.
Broadway and that down there.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the founding pastor there was Father Albert Meyer. And here it was mainly Germans. These were hardworking Germans of a very modest means. They built a church and a rectory, and then he found a home, and he made it into a convent for the School Sisters of Notre Dame, who ran the parish school there then. And then as time went on, it continued to build. Eventually, a new school was built in 1907. The family started out, they had about 200 families, and very rapidly, it grew to 450 families.
Wow.
Quite a fine parish.
That is a lot, because I'm sure they had several children in those families.
So oh, yeah.
That would have been a big parish and school, I'm
sure. Would have been, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, today, the parish is still noted for having one of the finest fish fries in Lent. So, anyway, just the
that's a fun tradition throughout St. Louis.
Isn't it? Yeah, we've got so many wonderful ones, yeah. The third parish that was founded this time was St. Pius V. This is down on South Grand, so it's another city parish. It's going to have a modest structure, but eventually in 1916, that beautiful church that is there today is going to be built. Our Lady of Częstochowa was set up. This was for the Polish on the south side. We already had St. Stanislaus up on the north side, but this is founded in 1906, and it's going to close in 1957. So those three there. And then in 1907, you have three parishes that are founded that are very, very powerful parishes all throughout most of the 20th century. And that's going to be Our Lady of Sorrows on South Kings Highway, Most Blessed Sacrament on North Kings Highway.
Oh, yes.
And St. Cecilia on the south side. Mm-hmm. So the founding pastor at Our Lady of Sorrows is Father S.A. Stolze. He had to wait 3 years before he could build a church. And they used to say Mass there regularly at the chapel at St. Peter and Paul Cemetery.
Oh,
if you've ever been down to that cemetery,
I have,
very beautiful chapel that's there. And that's where the parish finally had to meet. Eventually, he would have enough money to build a combination church, school, and parish hall. St. Cecilia goes back to late 1906, and its founding pastor is Father Bernard J. Benton. He was transferred in from St. Paul, Missouri, from rural area there. And eventually, he's going to gather together some 350 families, again, mainly German and Irish second generation. Our Lady of Sorrows is going to be mainly German, and it'll maintain that Germanness for a long, long time. And then he himself is going to have to wait for quite a while, and some 20 years before they build the Romanesque church that is there today for St. Cecilia.
Wow.
And I have never been inside, but I've seen photographs.
You still haven't been inside?
I have not been inside.
Wow. It is beautiful. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And well, I really do want to see it because the architect for that, I just found out, was Henry Hess, who is the architect, that famous architect who did Kendrick Lennon Seminary and CBC High School and scads of other churches and rectories and schools and all of that. And this is one of his churches.
It's beautiful. It's one of the classics that I always tell people that are looking for parishes to see in St. Louis. That's definitely on the list of don't miss parishes.
Well, the next parish that I want to talk about for 1907 is also very close to my heart.
Yes, indeed.
I was pastor of this parish for a number of years, and this is Most Blessed Sacrament. And it has a fantastic story behind it. The archbishop, this is Archbishop Glennon now, sent a young, very energetic priest out to found this parish. His name is Patrick H. Bradley. And Father Bradley arrives on the property that had been purchased by the Archdiocese. It's on the corner of Kings Highway and Northland Avenue, but it's located on the southeast side. He's looking across the street at the northwest side, and that corner sits about 3 feet higher than he is. And there's a fellow that has bought that property with the intention of putting in a tavern. And Bradley just hates the idea that he's going to be looking up at a tavern. So he goes over to the tavern owner, says, hey, before you break ground, why don't we switch property? I don't know how he persuaded him to give up the higher ground, but he did. And so they built a tavern on the southeast corner of Northland and Kings Highway. And Father Bradley got the good property as a result. He builds a modest frame church and celebrates Mass on August 21st of 1907. He himself was so eager to get there. While he was building the frame church, he actually got a tent and lived on the property.
Wow.
The first rectory of Blessed Sacrament was a tent.
It was a tent.
He then goes ahead and builds a very nice home, a two-story home about a block or so away, makes that his rectory. But his intention is to wait for the property values in that neighborhood to go up and then sell it for a big profit, which he did. Then take that money and tear down the old frame church and build the church that is there now. Unfortunately, Blessed Sacrament closed a number of years ago, around 2000, but magnificent fortress of a building, the church itself, and then the attached rectory, all done in white stone. And then he built the school, a three-story school, over on top of what was then the framed church. And later that became Bishop Healy Grade School. Unfortunately, that's closed now, too. And then he built a convent that accommodated, well, I don't know, 20-something nuns. Yeah.
Wow.
At one point, Most Blessed Sacrament was the second largest parish in the Archdiocese of St. Louis.
Oh.
It was a powerhouse.
I didn't realize it was that.
The church was very interesting. He designed the church himself.
Oh.
And he did this without any columns. The church building itself has no columns. It's freestanding. It's supported by its walls. And the walls themselves are mostly glass. They have stained glass windows, and they have the Stations of the Cross in these full-size stained glass windows. And then the sanctuary was phenomenal. I've seen photographs of this. And everything was done in white. And so if you go up into the sanctuary itself, the altar itself was white, but then the fresco behind the altar was a scene of the Last Supper. And in the middle, of course, is Jesus. And in the middle of Jesus' chest is the tabernacle embedded.
Beautiful.
Yeah. The photographs are just phenomenal.
Wow.
Well, he finished the church and the rectory by 1915. And then, as I say, he built the school and the convent. Over 20 Sisters of Incarnate Word ran the school. And he was pastor there at Most Blessed Sacrament for 33 years. During part of that time, toward the end of that time, he went blind. And very interesting, there's a grotto just directly north. There's a yard and a grotto there for the Blessed Virgin. And when I was there as pastor, I got a beautiful statue of the Blessed Virgin, but unfortunately it's gone now. Mm-hmm. When they closed the parish, I don't know what happened to it. Mm-hmm. That grotto was built specifically to thank the Blessed Virgin for all the prayers that the people of the parish had given for the restoration of Father Bradley's sight, and it came back.
It was another miraculous story.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, so being there, I learned an awful lot of stories about this and about that parish. At its height, it had 5,000 parishioners and 750 children in that school.
Wow.
They even took part of the school and made it into a junior high school.
Well, they were very active.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it really was. And DePaul Hospital was just down the street. It's now Northview Nursing Home. But that was a very, very Catholic neighborhood. Another one that was opened and closed at this time, too, was the Immaculate Conception Parish in South St. Louis. It opened in 1908, closed in 1977. Another one was St. Paul the Apostle. It was founded in Pine Lawn in 1909 and closed in 1995.
Wow.
Another one that was founded around that same time, 1909, was St. Catherine of Siena in Pagedale. There, you had another really incredible pastor. This was Father John Nugent. He celebrated Mass throughout the winter of 1909 and 1910 in a tent.
Wow.
You can imagine how terrible that was. And eventually, he built a wooden frame church and a school in 1913, inviting in the Sisters of Loretto, and the parish closed in 2001. So we've had a number of parishes that are...
I'm sure those parishioners were ready to jump right in to help build that church.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that's for sure.
After that first winter.
Well, the next 5 years, you have 13 more parishes
wow.
that are formed in the St. Louis area, some in the city and some in the county. But yeah, that's pretty incredible. And a lot of these parishes are actually, they're the brainchild of the pastor of All Saints.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he wants his parish smaller. He hates driving all over the place for bringing communion calls and sick calls and all that. So he's encouraging people to set up other parishes.
Okay.
And one of the first ones he encourages is the establishment of what will become the parish of St. Rock.
Oh,
it's
well, R-O-C-H. That is pretty close.
Yeah. That's going to be carved out of All Saints. It's in the city limits itself. It's what the All Saints had been in the city limits. Now this is going to become St. Rock's Parish instead. And so he met with Archbishop Glennon and some 8 lay people in that area, and they decided then to set up a parish. They named it after, I believe, St. Rock. He was a Rocco. St. Rocco was an Italian saint. I believe he's the only lay saint that we have as a patron of one of our parishes in the archdiocese. Might be wrong on that, but I can't think of another one. And so then 75 families eventually gathered around that parish, and the pastor, the founding pastor, was Father George P. Kuhlman. And then in 1922, St. Rock built this extraordinary church that's there now today, and especially that Tudor tower of theirs. You can see it from Forest Park. It's a phenomenal.
And that's one building. I haven't been to yet.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful church. But that tower is magnificent. And it continued growing. The parish grew with the Sisters of St. Joseph conducting the school. You see how many parishes the Sisters of St. Joseph are involved in.
Absolutely.
All of these sisters,
it's almost
yeah.
a little surprise when it's not them when you say
right, yeah. And it grew to over 800 families at that
wow.
time. Another parish to be founded a little after that is, in the same year, 1911, is Epiphany of Our Lord in South St. Louis.
I was there this weekend.
Oh, there you go, yeah. The founding father was Father John F. English, and he set up a school. There were 42 children in the school run by the Dominican sisters. The Dominicans were there right to the end, even if they weren't teaching in the school.
Sure.
In the late 80s, it was at Epiphany that I served as the acolyte when I was in the seminary.
Okay.
And had a wonderful, wonderful 6 months there. It was just great. And the sisters were still in the convent at that time.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, retired, but they were still active in the parish. Father English was so excited about getting this thing started that he started by using a storefront for his church. And eventually then built a building that served as a school and a convent and the church on the second floor. The school and convent were on the first floor, the church on the second floor, and then remained there as pastor of Epiphany until his death in 1944.
Wow.
And then before he died, he built the present church and the rectory and the convent and the school. And the bowling lane. I don't know about when the bowling lane came about. Yeah.
But they're still there.
That's incredible.
One of the few that still have the bowling lanes.
Yeah, one of the few. And I think they still have their the pins are set by hand.
I believe the last time I was there, and it's been probably more than 10 years, but
yeah.
it still was that way.
Yes, that's incredible.
It's a fun place to go bowl.
It's a fun parish. Those people, there. It's just a lot of fun to be with them. Yeah, I just had a wonderful time. Well, the next parish I know a little bit about also. This was founded in 1912, and that's St. Mary Magdalene in Brentwood.
Absolutely.
Also then All Souls in Overland and St. Adalbert's in the North City. They're all founded the same year, 1912. At least we can take a look at St. Mary Magdalene in the time that we have left. Brentwood wasn't called Brentwood. It was called Maddenville.
Maddenville.
Maddenville. Named after Tom Madden or Thomas Madden. And he had a quarry there off of Manchester Road. In fact, that quarry is now an Ace Hardware and a tile store. It had been Sims Fine Clothing for years, but that's where that quarry was. He also owned a tavern and a blacksmith shop and a grocery store.
Wow.
And this was really important because remember that Manchester Road was the road, premier road in Missouri. It ran from downtown, where it was called Choteau Avenue, all the way down to the riverfront, all the way to Jefferson City. So the first stop when you left downtown, the first stop you'd make would be in Maddenville.
Oh.
And you'd get your provisions, and if you needed some work done on your buggy or your horse or whatever, he was right there. And while he was working on the horse, he'd serve you up a beer. So things were pretty good. That road was also used by mail wagons, and so the mail service was going out to Jefferson City that way. Again, very helpful. Eventually, word got around out in Maddenville that the city of Maplewood was going to try to annex it. And so that got the people all worked up, and that's when they established and they incorporated, and they changed the name then at that point to Brentwood.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. This was in 1919, and here's another case where the Catholic Church actually preceded the town because the church itself had been founded, of course, in 1912, and the town is founded in 1919. So one can imagine, once again, the importance of the Catholic population in helping to incorporate the township of Brentwood. The founding pastor was Father Joseph Clement Fahlig. He first started out by using a two-story store and then finally was able to purchased the property that owned, that Thomas Madden owned, on the north side of Manchester, on Manchester and Brentwood, and which is now today, is of course, it its present location. Uh-huh. Built a school for about 120 children in 1922. And then took the second floor of the school. This is not, the school is no longer there now. It's the parking lot is where the school was, but he built the school, a two-story school, and then the auditorium on the second floor, and that's where the church was.
Oh, okay.
And they would use that for many years. Mm-hmm. So certainly, as we're looking at these various parishes that are being built, these new parishes that are coming about, we can see that Catholics are moving out into these areas. The dynamic is that the Catholics are moving out into these areas. And then the archdiocese comes out, sends usually a real nuts and bolts, real brick and mortar pastor out, who's a real go-getter. And he gathers the people together, builds usually a really modest church to begin with, or in some cases a tent. And then saves up and builds a nice church. And then along with that, a school. You notice that? There's always a school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he seems to have no problem getting in a religious order of sisters to come in and to run those schools. And then later on, you're going to have another improvement, like a third church that'll be built. And usually those churches are the ones that are with us today.
The ones that we have now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a very interesting dynamic, and later, as we start getting into some of the others, we'll be taking a look at just, there's a whole bunch of these parishes, but I wanted to cover all of the parishes that we have, you know, in this period of time, before we start into the 1920s and World War One and all that kind of stuff, but I wanted to, so we'll spend several more weeks talking about the founding of these parishes that are very familiar to us.
Very familiar. It's impressive.
Yeah.
What was the construction that was going on at this time? And the numbers of people that it really took to make all of these go, and the children and the schools and everything. But I love, though, that the parishes started first, and then the government and the city followed along. Once you have all the people there, then.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, really.
All right. Well, thank you again, Monsignor. This is great. I really am enjoying these looks at these parishes and how they all got their beginnings
diocese. This is fun to do this.
It really is. Yeah. All right. Well, shall we close with a prayer and your blessing?
Yeah. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.
Okay.